The word that struck me was transfigured. Just because it's so open-ended. Like, what actually happened? He was transfigured. There's like a bottomlessness to that. And it got me thinking about the body. And like all of our bodies. And the kind of mythologies that come along with different ideas of heaven. And, you know, ideas like immortality of the soul and the separation of the soul from the body at death, you know, stuff like that. And I read in a book by the philosopher Theodor Adorno, who is an atheist, but he was writing about the similarity between how Marxists and Christians anticipate the future, and he said the central similarity is the transfigured body, that it is an actual transformation of the flesh and not just a change in outlook. So I give that as a little preamble to my sermon. The complex of the Western mind is not wanting to admit we have bodies. What I think in my head, that's the real stuff. The mind is what really matters. So I don't want to stop for food. I'm a workaholic. I don't have time to stretch. Who needs water? Should I really have to think about my breath? I think, therefore I am. The body isn't as decisive as the soul. This distinction between body and soul has dominated Christian thinking for a millennia and a half, despite the fact that it is baggage from Greco-Roman philosophy, and Jesus was crucified by Rome, his followers persecuted by Rome, until the day the Roman Empire hijacked Christianity and made it useful for imperial ends. Greco-Roman Stoicism maintained that it is not your circumstances that shape your outlook, it is your outlook that shapes your circumstances. So stop trying to change the things you can't control and just change the way you think about the things you can't control. Then you will live in harmony with your circumstances. This was a very convenient philosophy for an empire looking to subdue the whole earth and rule out all political alternatives. The separation of the soul from the body was also convenient toward this end, as it encouraged colonized subjects to consider independence, justice, and peace to be eternal realities we can only dream of in the physical world, while they accept here and now the suspension of their rights and interests. And despite the substantial makeover that modern philosophers brought to Christian theology, they all more or less preserved this distinction between the soul and the body. "I think, therefore I am," were the words of René Descartes that went on to shape the character of modern Western thought. The French philosopher had concluded he could be certain of nothing else, not even the reality of the physical objects in front of him. Similarly, the Enlightenment philosopher Immanuel Kant, echoing Plato's concept of the forms, reduced physical reality to mere appearance, thereby robbing the physical world of its bearing on what we accept as true. Also demonstrating this tendency is the fact that the classic Western proofs of the existence of God do not refer to the God as a physical, real being and find support for the existence of God in that way. Rather, the proofs are all ideological deductions made purely from thought. It's the thought that counts, as we like to say. But this is the opposite of Jesus' principle to judge a tree by its fruit. Prophets aren't interested in wishes, but results. They care less about what we want to do and more about what is actually done. Whereas we Westerners tend to privilege intentions over actions. When a given project turns out badly or an action has unintended consequences, it's common to hear, well, the idea was, assuming the motivation should redeem the outcome. When someone has been hurt, it's common to hear, I didn't mean that, or I didn't intend for that to happen. And then we're expected to absolve the person on these grounds and forgive and forget, because apparently how someone makes you feel doesn't matter if they didn't mean to make you feel that way. Although, see how far you get in a relationship with that assumption. Western ideas concerning the free market and individual responsibility indicate we are expected to be self-sufficient, to take care of our needs on our own and not ask for anything. In practice, it amounts to a denial of our genuine needs in favor of made-up principles. It's like the argument against student loan forgiveness that says forgiving outstanding loans is not fair to borrowers who have already paid off their loans. So this idea of fairness is supposed to eclipse the far-reaching economic ramifications of having tens of millions of your citizens languishing in debt. The conventional Western discourse on racism is also representative of this fixation on ideas. While anti-racist people of color have always insisted that racism has to do with the effects of Western actions throughout history and the systemic racial disparities we have created, Western commentators, mostly but not always white, make it solely an issue of personal prejudice. The assumption is that racism must be intended in order for it to be real. The complex of the Western mind is not wanting to admit we have skeletons. My own idea bias is evident in the fact that I neglect my well-being when I'm working on creative projects. I sometimes forget to eat for hours on end. I fail to take stretch breaks, even when long hours of sitting result in back, neck, and shoulder pain. I may or may not stretch in the morning before going out to walk dogs all day, but I almost never skip my morning reading. When we're out, I often have to ask Debbie if she has water, because I commonly leave my own to-go bottle behind. But it's less common for me to forget my earbuds, Subway book, or cannabis pre-roll. One of my favorite Black Sabbath lyrics goes, "Your mind is full of pleasure, your body's looking ill," from the song Hand of Doom, about the physical toll addiction takes on a human body. It's a good reminder not to neglect our well-being, our physical well-being. Jesus said he came for the sick. He said he came that we might have life and life abundantly. He was known as someone who tended to people's physical needs. And the story of his resurrection does not refer to an idea like the immortality of the soul, but rather to a transformed physical reality. As I quoted earlier from Adorno, to spiritualize the resurrection and turn it into an idea undermines the real crux of the good news, that it's a transformation of flesh. The miracle at the bedrock of Christian hope is the transfigured body, a broken body restored and made new. A real physical transformation of our circumstances, and not just a change in our outlook. So let us tend to our bodies, to the well-being of each other's bodies, to the needs of our church body and the conditions of the body politic. Let's make earth the site of our hope for transfiguration. Let's seek the transformation of the physical living conditions we see here and now. So stay hydrated. Put some sunscreen on. Don't forget to stretch. Remember to eat. Because the body is the matter.